And you can make your announcements. Oh, no, you don't want me to. Okay. All right, then I'll just start. Good. I'm glad it was not a problem on my end. Okay. I just really want to settle with a prayer first today. That's how it feels. Like the instructions on our awareness, watching awareness meditations. One of them early on, might be like instruction D or E. It just talks about using that time of meditation to relax, to just see it as, and in my words, like a break. And I'm receptive to relaxing into a quiet, open space so that grace can shine through clearly. So whatever I need to hear will come through gently. For love to fill the heart space. And for trust that everything indeed is for our highest good. Let me know that in direct experience, Father. Help me to let the past go. It's over. It can touch me not. Let the solid ground of awareness, empty, unaffected awareness, be my friend. My soul's support, my only presence. Let my attention be placed with myself. For this I pray. Amen. Okay. Cheryl, if you can do one favor for me. I have a mark in my book that I left off. I was going to be starting on page 137. Is that correct? According to do you have that information? Letting me know if that's correct. We are in chapter 5, Eva Bell Werber, and it appears that I left off at the bottom of page 136. Usually I dog ear the page I'm to start on, and it is in fact dog-eared. But being that it's only the second page of Eva Bell Werber, I'm going to start back at the beginning. We've been a couple of, yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you for checking that for me and confirming. I'm actually going to go right back to the beginning because it's only one page. And we haven't been here for a couple of weeks, and it feels like forever somehow to me. But we are reading in Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is a joyful path to self-realization. And the following quotes by Eva Bell Werber are from the book The Voice of the Master. And those quotes have been chosen by Michael Langford and are being shared now in this book called Experience Your Perfect Soul. And this first page of Eva Bell Werber's quotes is called This Book, meaning the book, The Voice of the Master. Truly, I am the door by which you enter the garden of this book. There, wrapped in the warmness of my love, you shall abide. While I bring you lessons and truths, which I would have you know. And right away, as I think I said the first time I read this a couple of weeks ago, I sense like a direct voice speaking to me as opposed to a person. How do I say it? It feels like a direct speaking to me from the Christ, from the one mind, from the self, from love itself. I invite you to walk in this garden of love with me, letting me guide and direct you, showing you the beauties of a life lived from my high point of consciousness. Sometimes we shall not even talk together, but rest quietly in sweet communion, drinking deep of a holy place. I love that. I love that. Sometimes we shall not even talk together, but rest quietly in sweet communion, drinking deep of a holy peace. Read each day some little part, then go forth, putting its teachings okay, am I back? Thank you. Again, I'll repeat the last paragraph. Read each day some little part, then go forth, putting its teachings into practice in your daily life and affairs, and you may prepare to accept the blessings which will pour upon you from my full storehouse. And at least for me, the most important piece of that after the reading would be putting its teachings into practice in your daily life and activities. Otherwise, it's, you know, basically just an intellectual accumulation of information that remains in a dormant state, you know, an unused state. I think we were reading from when Jay and Regina were reading from the purpose of practice and purpose. Is that the name of it, Jay? Is Jay here? No. The purpose of, practice and purpose, I think, is the name of it. There was a word used, and for some reason it's escaping me at the moment, but the word meant the same thing, where, you know, we have this unused potential, and that's what, you know, the reading would be. The reading is not just for the intellectual accumulation of the words, or to appear as like some brainy spiritual person that knows the correct words, the correct spiritual words, and can use those words to, you know, communicate in a way that hopefully has the intention of being helpful, but then doesn't put it into practice themselves. I mean, what's the point? What would be the point? But when we take that reading and we take the time to contemplate it, and to ask questions, to do the inquiry, to absorb what true self is actually revealing, giving as a gift from a storehouse that's ever available. We know when we're using that effectively by the blessings that come with that storehouse, with that practice, with using the teachings. Yeah. The next section is called Enter the Garden. In an instant's turning of the thought back within you, let me say that again. In an instant's turning of the thought back within you, severing it from the things of the outer realm where men function in work and play, you can be within this garden of reality, away from the world of illusion. So again, as thought might be appearing in the mind, we can notice, is this a thought that serves my highest purpose? Is this a thought that I can use simply in a practical way in my everyday human existence that serves that purpose? Or is this simply ego chatter? Those were the three types of thought that Regina shared with us in our tip for the day on the lesson, The Past is Over, It Can Touch Me Not. So thought is very common in the world, and we can use our attention in various ways. We can place it with awareness itself, which is quiet and unaffected by any of those types of thoughts. But it can be useful to notice within the mind what is going on. And when we notice the application or the attention, the application of attention towards ego busyness, we can turn away from that outer focus back within ourselves and ask, what am I to do now? What would you have me see that I'm not seeing? How would you have me look at this? Show me the eyes of Christ, the true self. So that is the way that we sever that thought, that ego chatter, that crazy voice that does not have anything to do with the truth of you and is really outwardly focused always. Turn to me, turn outside of yourself. And it says, we sever that thought by placing our attention inwards. And that can be done where men function in work and play. It can be done in the relative world where we seem to exist. And that very act of turning away from that chaotic thought process is the lead into the garden of reality, away from the world of illusion. There, as in another realm, we walk together. And you learn from me the lessons of higher truth, which I can give in no other way. So there's that indication of surrender. It's available to you always in this other realm where we walk together, where we're never alone, where we're completely guided from the lessons of higher truth. But it can be given only by free will. You know, there's no like, you know, bopping us over the head like that, you know, that game that you ever, have you ever played that game, whack-a-mole, you know, where when that mole pops up, you whack it with that mallet. And it's this, you know, ongoing process where it gets faster and faster and faster. And that's how the chaotic mind can be. It can be so frenzied as an ego preservation strategy, a distraction, that there's this almost unconscious activity that seems to be, quote, normal, but it actually prevents us from accepting the lessons. It's like that cloud cover the Course talks about. It's so dense that we do not get the lesson at that moment because we're focused on the madness instead. We're focused on believing the false voice. We're caught up in the strategies that the ego engages in, which can be very cunning, very manipulative, very engaging. And we have to use our mindfulness. And one of the ways that the easiest way for me, at least, to be mindful in that situation when the mind is very caught up in some sort of seemingly external happening, outwardly focused, is how do I feel? How do I feel? Tune in to your emotions. Are you angry, upset, out of peace, wanting to blame something other than self? And even that, blaming self, blame, the blame itself. What self are you blaming? Still caught up in, even in taking responsibility, if you recognize this is coming from my own mind and you're still self-critical, is that who you really are? Is that the I am door, criticizing yourself then? Our loving all method would say, love that you're criticizing yourself. Love that. You're actually noticing that the little self is still involved, trying to convince you to condemn the false self as if it's you, but there is enough awareness now that you notice that, and that's what you love. You love that you notice that mistake and can let it go, and that puts you in this other realm where you're not alone. You're walking with your truth, yourself, who you really are. And there's compassion for the process, not criticism. That empty awareness that notices the little mind wanting to, you know, say, give itself some credit. I noticed the error, but now I'm going to beat myself up for another moment. And there's something there that sees that and loves that you noticed that and can now let it go. And we have a willingness to let those lessons of higher truth into those situations. We have an open door, a real yearning to allow everything to appear as it appears, to be as it is, to be experienced emotionally as it needs to be experienced. And we rest you will be calm and poised through all circumstances, for you shall not again put on the dust sandals nor the musty robe, but shall don the new robes of higher consciousness. And this piece is called Each Must Enter Alone. I hear you say, Lord, there are those I love whom I would take with me into this garden of the heart. I cannot leave them behind in their consciousness of despair, their feeble understanding and unhappiness of circumstances. I see that the mic dropped, so I just picked it back up again. I don't really know what's going on with that, but hopefully you can hear me now. Is that correct? Can anybody? Okay. Thank you, Becky. I say to you, you may bring them to the very gate, but each soul must enter the garden alone. And you know, sometimes that those words right there can have that element of fear, where it's like that we can interpret that as if I'm all alone, that very ingrained, taught lie of separation wants to step in immediately and say, you know, you can do it on your own. As a matter of fact, it's the only really way that you're going to be able to do it, because you can't depend on other people to help you. I mean, surely you've seen that, you know, that's sketchy at best. And this is not the entering alone that is spoken of here. This is speaking to that that willingness within one's self. For instance, I can't decide for Becky Gibson that she is going to listen within today. I cannot make that choice for her, but I can make the choice for myself. And in that very willingness, the extension of that automatically goes out into the universe and is given to all. So it's never worrying about whether somebody else is doing their work or not. You know, this is saying bring them to the very gate, so we can talk all we want to other people, for instance, or family or friends or anybody. trying to seemingly get them to what? See it our way, or convince them that my spiritual way is possibly working for me, and you need to do it this way because it might your spiritual path might not be working for you, so try it my way. It's not about any of that. A Course in Miracles clearly tells us our only responsibility is to accept the atonement for yourself. And that's what this means. Each must enter alone. It's a conscious choice that I will, in fact, lean into myself. I will love myself. Yourself deserves all of your attention, all of it. And I, this incarnation as Kathy, can do that and experience directly what that means. Yes, the practical, Night Owl, the practical application of our theoretical knowledge leads to the inner experiential awareness, which is beyond words. Exactly, perfectly said. So again, I hear you say, Lord, there are those I love whom I would take with me into this garden of the heart. I cannot leave them behind in their consciousness of despair, their feeble understanding, and unhappiness of circumstances. I say to you, you bring them to the very gate, but each soul must enter the garden alone. Each soul must choose for itself to lay aside the world-worn garments. You shall lead them by the glow you carry, causing them to desire that which they see you have. You shall so radiate love to them that they will seek to find it for themselves. And through you, many will indeed enter the garden. They will ask you the way, and you shall be directed how to answer them. And you know, that's the end of that particular piece. And I will just say from my own direct experience that oftentimes, when I am asking in for a certainty that what has been shared is in fact guidance, pure guidance, let me just say, skepticism around guidance and really checking within myself to be certain that it is, in fact, true guidance, and often ask for some sort of guidepost to show me that I am following the correct voice. And my experience has been that a brother or sister will reflect in words such as, and I will give a direct experience of that, where I've had people say to me many times, many different people, I needed to hear what you had to say to me. And I always know in my heart that it's not me, not Kathy me. I'm simply the vessel through which the words came. This very week, I had someone confirm via a message that they said to me, "I have read your words to me over and over, and they have been very helpful." And she was expressing gratitude. And I simply wrote back and said, "Those words are for me also." Because I never want it to be seen as a me giving something to a you in a separate way. The message is always for myself. And that self is the same self within a friend that resonates within your heart. When I have a thumping, literally a thumping in the heart, that is another external sign, a resonance within myself that says, yes, this is in fact guidance. Give it freely. It is not coming from intellectual understanding or trying to seemingly give somebody advice or any of that. Any of that. And so I'm always grateful for those types of confirmations and grateful. Just grateful. That's all. Let me take a quick drink of water here. I'm noticing, even with drinking water, I've been a little shy on drinking enough water. And so one easy way to rectify that situation is just to gulp the whole glass of water down at one time. That way I know that I'm at least drinking 8 ounces at that moment. I only got halfway there, but that's an easy way for me to correct that problem. If I just take a little sip and set it down, then I forget about the water. So it's like drink all the water at one time. And then quench again, drink all the water at one time. Yeah, take it all in. So, this is called the pearl of great price. As I speak to you from the pages of this book, even so do I speak. From your heart's center. There's that heart reference again. And I'll just pause there quickly, just on a personal note. I have really never resonated with the word heart or heart space or placing my attention on the heart. During my many years of studying A Course in Miracles, somehow that did not feel like a something that was a I don't know, a piece of A Course in Miracles that stressed that. I don't know, it just never that never felt that way to me. But with the universal aspect of awakening together, that heart center has become more awakened, I don't know, more lively. And that thumping sense is just an easy symbol And I appreciate that. Never doubt that my word is meant for you. There it is. Never doubt that my word is meant for you. Strong has been my doubt. That's me. That's personal me speaking. Strong has been my doubt. Weak has been my trust. But that trust is enough to get me where I am right now. And I am releasing more and more doubt and opening to more and more deeper trust within the heart center. Even during meditation this week, when it was so difficult to continuously return my attention to empty awareness, my heart was thumping each time I was able to withdraw my attention from the screaming thought processes and bring it back to the heart center, to drop from my head to my heart, and my heart would thump. And so just that little tiny, yet deep sensory feeling, I knew I was back with myself, loving myself, being with myself. It was enough. That was enough. And I trusted that over the doubt, over the screaming ego. And Night Owl says, I feel to read this. When the inner frequencies of the vibrations from our consciousness is tuned into the same frequencies of the vibrations emanating from the universal consciousness, then we resonate with other consciousnesses who are also tuned in, yes. That sense, and what I'm feeling from that is just that sense of what it said, like on the previous page, that sense of walking together, and that feels like such a supportive place and right now I need that support more than ever. And so yes, I appreciate that sharing. So hang on a minute. I can't see so well at the moment. So again, as I speak to you from the pages of this book, even so, do I speak from your heart's center. Never doubt that my word is meant for you to guide you on your daily path. It will bless you in joy and comfort you in sorrow and truly our companionship will be sweet as we journey on together. Okay. The next piece is called Safe Shelter. Am the all of you, all that is real and eternal. When you have found the safe shelter in me, you will lose all thoughts of fear. All the outer circumstances of your life will be a true reflection of that perfection dwelling within you. Then you will live a life of security among the passing things of the world. Then we shall walk and talk, untouched by the changes of time and limitation. Hang on, guys, I gotta blow my nose. Okay. Yeah. Purification sometimes comes with snots. Yeah, that's for sure. I'm actually going to read that again. Safe shelter. I am the all of you, all that is real and eternal. And you know, we've been, there's been lots of emphasis from many different teachers just on that notion of claiming your realness, claiming yourself, putting, your attention, love yourself, love yourself, love your attention, love your awareness, your attention on your awareness. Awareness, watching awareness. That's how we love ourselves. Claim that. Live that. When you have found the safe shelter in me, and that is the only safe shelter. On a worldly level, appearances, for instance, my own personal appearance, it's like I have everything, everything. I mean, I have everything. There's so few, literally, I can't think of any material things that, would make me any happier. Truly, I've lived a blessed life in that way. I've been blessed to have the lessons that teach that is not where real happiness ever is. No, I did not know. But the safe shelter is never in any of those places, anything external ever. So when you've found safe shelter in me, you will lose all thoughts of fear. If you go into self-inquiry and you ask yourself, am I in fear? Am I in fear at the seeming lack of, fill in the blank? And when I get that thing, if it's an outer desire or want, when I get that thing and go into the mind again, is my happiness conditional on that thing? And as that thing gets older or isn't quite as new as it used to be, or as exciting as it has been, or as fun as it used to be, is my mind wandering to the next thing? If I'm never doing inquiry around the external, grubbing of stuff and the preservation strategies that come with the accumulation of stuff It's like, if I'm never doing inquiry on that, we can waste an entire life focused on that, mistaken that that's going to be the avenue towards my joy, my happiness, having a good time here in this material relative world. We can waste lifetimes, not just this lifetime, lifetimes. Lifetimes. Externally focused. And that's why A Course calls it the tragic use of time. That's why Michael Langford is so telling us that the intense desire for liberation is so critical. Why waste your time on anything else when we're told right here, safe shelter is in me? All thoughts of fear are everywhere else. And we lose all those fearful thoughts when we turn our attention towards the safe shelter of the truth of us, the realness of us, the eternal nature of us. All the outer circumstances of your life will be a true reflection of that perfection dwelling within you. But again, if I don't lay aside the world-worn garments, as it talked about on the previous page, if I don't choose for myself to go in the direction of that safe shelter, I will experience suffering, period. Then you will live a life of security. It's saying when you turn to that safe shelter, when you turn within, when you turn to empty awareness that dwells within you, then you will live a life of security among the passing things of the world. It's not that we won't, get a new car or get a new house or buy some new clothes or whatever, but you know in your heart, in direct experience, this is not real, this is not eternal, this is a passing circumstance, a passing something, just one of those I have to buy. If you have to buy a new pair of socks and underwear, you go get it, but you don't turn it into, some shopping obsession. Now my underwear have to match my bra. Now I have to be this. I mean, it doesn't turn into some weirdness. It's just practical, everyday. You go grocery shopping when you need food. You don't turn food into some kind of an obsession. There's not that unnecessary focus externally. And that says then, when that's not the case, then we shall walk and talk untouched by the changes of time and limitation. Can you imagine? Untouched. It's not saying, partially safe. It's saying untouched. Completely safe. And that's why Michael Langford so often says, make your intense desire for liberation your number one priority. Because it's in that that we experience directly this walking and talking untouched within change and untouched within this idea of time and untouched within this idea of limitation. We know those are insane ideas. But here I am, seemingly as this personal vessel, Kathy. And what am I to do? I'm to surrender into what's being offered here. Night Owl says we are all fractals of the universal consciousness, like jigsaw pieces, each one unique in the part of the big picture. We are also unique pieces of the same big picture, everyone necessary for the infinite big picture. Yes, each of us doing our part here. Accepting the atonement, accepting healing into the mind of a seeming person called Kathy, off taking from the treasure house of my perfection each time I allow my attention to rest with myself, which is the Christ, which is also the Christ in consciousness, which is one consciousness, not many consciousnesses. One consciousness, but it is my choosing to keep my attention focused there. And every time I notice my attention floating away into, the voice that I'm seemingly more familiar with, but less attuned to these days for certain, we turn our attention away, turn our attention away, turn our attention away from that. Towards empty awareness, towards the safe shelter. That's home. So, this last piece, listen to the voice within. You have but to turn within in love and adoration. There's that, love yourself. Give all of your attention to awareness. You have but to turn within in love and adoration, for there I wait. There I have always been. It is within
Congratulations.
that you
We
shall
are giving
come to
away prizes to
find
a few lucky Alibaba visitors.
that the sweetness you have missed has always been there, has always been waiting for you to take it. My love is freely given, and I wait patiently for you to come and receive. My strength is there for you to come and use. Why depend on human strength or understanding when within your own being is that which is perfect, which has always been a part of you? Thank you guys for letting me know because I don't have my hands anywhere near the keyboard, so I'm not really sure why that happens. But I will just go back to pausing. Maybe that was the pause. Pause. Listen to the voice within. Then go forth to walk in sweet communion. Doing the tasks that lie so close at hand, doing them with the strength and joy of the Almighty. Then shall these tasks that await your doing be easily and happily done. Walk with me and have the glory of the Holy Presence shine all about you. Or walk alone. And be amid confusion and at the mercy of the winds of circumstance and conditions. Oh my God, I mean, how clear is that choice? I mean, think about it. Just think about what this last sentence just said. Walk with me and have the glory of the Holy Presence shine all about you, you know, where the tasks that seem to await you, whatever you seem to have to do, the tasks that he says that lie so close at hand. You know, just our daily life. You can let the glory of the Holy Presence go with you, or you can walk alone and be amid confusion and at the mercy of the winds of circumstances and conditions. It seems like a very clear, easy choice. I see that that's the last piece right there of that particular section. And so I am ending on page 140, about three quarters of the way down. I will pick up next week, starting with the section called Completeness. I appreciate you guys joining with me, and I'm giving the mic over to Miss Becky. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.